Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 4, and we will be reading all the verses of Revelation chapter 4, even though our focus will be on verses 5 and 6 this morning. Keep in mind as well that there is an outline in your bulletins to help you as you follow along this morning for our sermon entitled The Throne, Fire, and a Sea of Glass. But let us begin with the reading of God's Word as it comes to us from Revelation chapter 4, and let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy, infallible, and inerrant Word. After this I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice I had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this." At once I was in the Spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian. A rainbow resembling an emerald encircled the throne. Surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders. They were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning, rumblings, and peals of thunder. Before the throne, seven lamps were blazing. These are the seven spirits of God. Also before the throne, there was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. And in the center around the throne were four living creatures, and they were covered with eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion, the second was like an ox, and the third had the face of a man. The fourth was like a flying eagle, and each of the four living spirits had four wings and was covered with eyes all around. Even under his wings, day and night, they never stopped saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and who is to come." Whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to Him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him who sits on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and by Your will they were created and have their being." That's the reading of God's Word this morning as we find it in the book of Revelation chapter 4. One of the things we have always emphasized at Sovereign Grace OPC is a vertical view of worship. A vertical view of worship means that we understand that what goes on during the worship service on the Lord's Day is more than something horizontal. A vertical view of worship teaches that there is something in terms of our worship which is identified with God Himself who is in heaven. This is more than a group of people singing songs together, songs that they like to enjoy music. Worship is more than the person in front teaching something or speaking about a particular topic to some other people as they've gathered around to listen, such you would expect in a classroom. But what takes place during the worship service on the Lord's Day is a vertical worship that takes place before God in heaven. There is a dialogue that is taking place between God and His people during the worship service. God speaks to you in His Word as the Word is read, and His written Word is infallible. His written Word is inerrant. And as the Word is read during the service, God Himself is speaking to His people through that Word as His servant reads the Word. As the Word is proclaimed, God's Spirit is illuminating your hearts. As Elder Dysings prayed a moment ago, that as the Word is proclaimed through the servant of God, God's Spirit would illuminate the hearts of His people, that they would be blessed and fed by His Word. And then as God's people listen to the Word, they respond in praise. They respond in praise and worship. This isn't about singing a number of songs that you like to tunes that you like so that you can enjoy the beautiful music. This is singing in response to the Word of God, and it is singing that is indicative of the worship of God that God's people do on the Lord's Day. But sadly, so much of the church today do not worship as if they have a vertical view of worship. Instead of putting their focus on the Lord's Day and during the worship time, on how God must be honored and glorified through their worship, many churches have put their efforts on the worship that is horizontal. Preaching, which is preaching that is set to please, or to entertain, or to make it interesting for the people, not necessarily true to the text. I recently had a pastor in Oak Arbor, of a sister church, of another church, that said to me, "I've been really taking good use of the latest technology of video and PowerPoint presentations during the sermon. I often start with a video summary of something, and I find that it really helps the people pay attention to what I have to say, and it keeps them interested." In so many churches, the singing is not focused on the glory of God, but the efforts taking place during the singing, during the service, is to uplift the people, to make them feel good, to make them enjoy the worship. Because if we sing these hymns or these reverent tunes, there is no enjoyment or excitement or as much emotion as if we make the efforts to make people feel good so they will come back. So much of worship in the church today is horizontal. It's focused on keeping people interested. It's focused on helping people come in no matter what they believe, as long as they sit there and we can count them as a number and say how many were here at our church on that day. Today, the effects of this horizontal worship is showing in those who come. There's churches, even in the Seattle area, where during the service you can text a question to your pastor. There's people who come to worship on the Lord's Day with their cell phones still on, and sometimes will step out, not out of a need of necessity, but step out and take a call. And there are places where people keep their cell and text message on and text message their friends or people they know during the service as they've gathered for worship. And sometimes you see people during the worship catching up on their sleep. All of this a sign that people do not have a vertical view of what the worship of God is on the Lord's Day. And so you come this morning and you say, "Okay, we understand that. We see that that type of thing is going on. But where does this vertical view of worship come from? Where do we get this understanding that worship is vertical before God? And where does the Scripture lay it out for us to see?" This morning we turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 4. And as the last few weeks we have been working our way through this initial vision in Revelation chapter 4 that God has John record for us, we have been learning about a description of the throne of God. We have learned in the first verse of how John is in this vision given an open door into heaven. That God has invited him in verse 1 up into the heavenly realms to see his throne. And what John sees and describes for us as he is inspired by the Spirit in Revelation 4 is the very throne room of God. It is the place where God himself is sitting on his throne. And you can see in verse 2 that as John looks at the throne, he sees someone on it. He cannot describe the person because it is God himself, because it is God the Father, and God the Father cannot be described for us in human terms. God is spirit, and he is sitting on his throne in heaven, above the world, above the earth. And as John looks further at the throne, and he sees from the throne, from the someone sitting on it, the radiance of jasper. As we have said in previous sermons, the radiance of jasper, the pure light of a diamond, the shining sparkle of a diamond as jasper on the throne, radiating the holiness of God. He also sees radiating from the throne the carnelian, the red blood, the deep red blood color of carnelian, representing the blood that was shed so that God's people could be in the presence of his holiness. And then surrounding God, surrounding the radiance of his holiness, and the radiance of his grace in the red blood is the rainbow. The rainbow, an emerald color, a dark green representing eternal life. As it is surrounding God himself and the jasper and the carnelian, we see the salvation of God sealed in the rainbow around the throne. And gathered around the throne of eternal life, gathered around the throne of God and his holiness and his grace are the 24 elders. The 24 elders on the 24 thrones representing the saints of God, the redeemed of God, the 12 disciples of the New Testament, the 12 sons of Jacob of the Old Testament, God's people of the Old Testament, God's people of the New Testament, represented in all their fullness in the 24 elders around the throne. Now remember, these are not the 12 disciples, these are not the 12 sons of Jacob, as some have said, not the literal ones, but in their 12 number, they stand for the saints of God who have been redeemed by God, who are gathered around the throne of his eternal life and grace, worshiping him on the throne. Now you say to yourself, where does this understanding of worship come from? You speak here at Sovereign Grace of a vertical style of worship. But what does it have to do with Revelation 4? As you look further in this chapter, you see that this is a chapter of worship. In verse 8 of Revelation 4, we read that the four living creatures who had six wings and were covered with eyes all around, even under his wings, day and night in heaven, they never stop saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and who is and who is to come." Then the living creatures, verse 9, give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever. And the 24 elders fall down before Him who sits on the throne and worship Him who lives there forever and ever. And they lay their crowns before the throne and say, You are worthy, O Lord and God, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For You created all things, and by Your will they were created and have their being. You see, around the throne in heaven, the 24 elders are at worship. Around the throne in heaven, the four living creatures are at worship. And their focus is on giving glory to God. But now, as John goes on to describe what he sees, you notice in verse 5, he speaks of something that comes from the throne. First, he has summed up for us, as God has revealed it to him, the throne of God, and the colors from the throne, and the eternal life from the throne, and God's holiness and God's grace. And then around the throne, we see the 24 elders. But now, as he steps back, he sees from the throne flashes of lightning, rumblings, and peals of thunder. When you read that, you say to yourself, well, that reminds me of Mount Sinai. In the Old Testament, as Israel was redeemed from the land of Egypt, as God delivered them by the Passover lamb, and they came to the mountain at Mount Sinai, they saw on top of the mountain, they saw thunder, they saw lightning, they heard thunder and the rumblings of God's power from the mountain. And they trembled with fear and reverence and awe. And now, as John is describing for us through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the throne of God in heaven, he also sees the presence of God represented in lightning, in rumblings, and the peals of thunder. God was present on the top of Mount Sinai, and the people trembled in reverence and awe before his face. They did not dare come near him, and they worshiped him. Now, as John peers into heaven, again he sees coming from the throne the presence of God demonstrated in flashes of lightning and rumblings and peals and thunder, and it causes all of God's people and those in heaven to stand before him in reverence and awe. But what happened in the Old Testament? God's people stood before the mountain. And as they stood before the mountain in reverence and awe in Exodus 19 and 20, they trembled with fear and they said, Moses, you go speak to us, for we cannot go to speak with God face to face. You must go for us, for we are humble, we are sinners, and He is holy. But it wasn't long before that wasn't enough. And they decided in Exodus 32 and 33 that they needed something else for their worship. They decided that they needed to make an image to help them in their worship and to help them be interested and pay attention and to make God more real to them. So they said to Aaron, you need to build us a golden calf and help us in our worship. And Aaron built them the calf, and they were happy with what they had. They enjoyed it. They enjoyed shaping God to how they wanted Him to be. They enjoyed identifying with the worship of the calves that took place in Egypt as they left that land in which they worshiped their cows. And they shaped God to how they wanted Him to be, and they said, this will help us worship the God who is in heaven. And for Aaron, It kept the people interested. It helped them pay attention more. And we know what God said when he saw it. You see, the book of Revelation in verse 5 is reminding us once again of who God is in heaven. It is reminding us through the flashes of lightning, through the rumblings and the peals of thunder, of the awesomeness and the presence of God who is on that throne. It is reminding us through the mannerisms of the four living creatures and the elders that are gathered around the throne of what they do in the presence of God and in worship. They say over and over again, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and who is to come. You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being." That is what they are doing in heaven before his throne. And they are before him in reverence and in awe. And now, as God's people worship, even today, they worship before him in reverence and awe. The 24 elders aren't texting anybody. The 24 elders aren't keeping their cell phone on in case somebody calls. They devote their total focus of their life, of their worship, to the Lord God. And not only are they doing that for an hour once a week, their focus is the Lord God for all of their lives, for every minute that they are there in his presence. And their focus of their total life is on giving glory and honor to him because of his grace, because of his salvation, and because of his awesome presence on the throne. And they are there, as you are there, as the Apostle Paul tells us over and over again, that we belong to Christ who is in the heavenly realms, and he has put us there even now. But now, as John looks further, and he takes his camera and he doesn't zoom in, but he zooms out, he looks now before the throne. And before the throne, in verse 5, in the middle of that verse, John sees seven lamps that are blazing. These are the seven spirits of God. Now, we've seen that before in the book of Revelation, the seven lamps mentioned, the seven lamps that are blazing. In fact, we see that at the beginning of the first vision in Revelation chapter 1. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 12, the Son of Man is there and John is driven up into the Spirit. And John writes in verse 12, "I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me. And when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And among the lampstands was someone like the Son of Man, dressed in a robe, reaching down to his feet with a golden sash around his chest." Seven lampstands before the throne in Revelation 4. Seven lampstands mentioned in Revelation 1. The seven lampstands in Revelation 1 draw us back to the Old Testament once again. We saw in the Old Testament the Holy of Holies, the place where God's presence was between the cherubim on top of the Ark of the Covenant within the Holy of Holies. Then on the outside, we had the holy place where there was a lampstand of seven lamps that burned brightly, representing the presence of God before the throne. Now in the book of Revelation, the throne has been described. And once again, we are reminded of the holiness of God in the flashes of lightning and the rumblings and the peals of thunder around the throne. Only the saints of God who have been had washed in the blood of Christ can be in that place and worship God. But now as John zooms out, you see the lamps once again before the throne blazing. And John tells us specifically what they are. These are the seven spirits of God. He's identified the lamps in Revelation 1. And now he goes on to describe them as the seven spirits of God in Revelation 4, verse 5. And then as you look further into chapter 5 of Revelation, again we are revealed something about the seven spirits of God. In Revelation 5, verse 6, John writes this, "Then I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing in the center of the throne and encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. And he had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth." Before the throne of God in heaven is the seven lamps that are blazing, which are the seven spirits of God. And from the throne of God in heaven, we're told in Revelation 5, verse 6, the seven spirits of God are sent out into all the earth. Do you remember what the role of the Holy Spirit is? The role of the Holy Spirit, as we read it in the Westminster Confession and as the Scripture teaches us, is the application of salvation. And in Revelation 4, we see salvation, the throne of God, and the eternal life that is surrounding the throne, and the worship of God, and the holiness of God, and now the lamp that is blazing is before the throne. And in chapter 5, the seven spirits are sent out through all the earth. And how is the Spirit at work? How is the Spirit applying the salvation of God to the people all over the earth? The salvation of God is proclaimed through His Word. Through His Word as it is read. Through His Word as it is proclaimed. And the Spirit of God from the throne itself is at work in that Word. In that vision in Revelation 1, the eyes are explained. Because in Revelation 1, verse 14, again, we are told about the Son of Man, whose head and hair are as white as wool and as white as snow, and we're told that His eyes were like blazing fire. Do you see the connection? In Revelation 1, we are told of the Son of Man who is looking down from heaven at His church, and His eyes are like blazing fire because He knows insincerity. There is no hiding from Him as He evaluates each church in each letter to the Revelation churches. He knows and He sees the Christians that are true and that are false. And now as the fiery eyes are brought together, and as we again look at it being described in Revelation 4 and 5, we see, again, Revelation 4, verse 5, the seven eyes which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. We were told in Revelation 4, verse 5, that the seven lamps are blazing, and they are the seven spirits of God. The blazing and the eyes. The eyes of the Spirit are being sent out through the earth. the Spirit as it is sent out from the throne, as it works through the Word, as the Word is read and proclaimed, is a Spirit that has eyes of blazing fire. It knows when someone loves Christ. It knows and works in someone's heart and changes that person's heart. But if the person gathered to hear the Word is insincere, there is no fooling the Spirit. This Spirit is a discerning Spirit. It is a Spirit, according to the Westminster Confession, according to the Scripture, which has a twofold purpose. That Spirit, as it works through the Word, brings grace and salvation, the grace and salvation of God from the throne is applied to them through the power of that Spirit. But secondly, that Spirit, through the power of the Word, will bring judgment against those who reject it. They have heard it. They turn aside. They are not interested. And the judgment of God comes upon them. Do you see this picture that is being presented in Revelation? The power of God on the throne, His grace, His glory, His power. Then we see, as John reverses the camera and as we look back further, that before the throne is the Spirit. And from the throne, the Spirit goes out throughout the earth through the power of the Word as the Word is proclaimed, a discerning Spirit which brings grace and which brings judgment. And when God's people worship on the Lord's Day, and the Word is read, and the Word is proclaimed, the Spirit from the throne of heaven is at work. And it is a discerning Spirit with eyes that are a blazing fire that know when someone wants to be there, that know when someone wants to hear it, that knows when someone is not paying attention or more interested in their worldly activities than standing before the throne of God and focusing on Him and the worship of Him. This is a Spirit that looks for those who sing with all their hearts as the 24 elders do in heaven, that looks for those who sing with all their hearts as the four living creatures do in heaven. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and who is and who is to come. But now, as John looks once more, he also sees one more thing before the throne. In verse 6, we are told that before the throne there was what looked like a sea of glass, as clear as crystal. Lightning, and then the holy place where the lamp is, described in verse 5 as the lamps are blazing, and then in verse 6, describing the courtyard, the outer court of the people of God, where we are told in the Old Testament that they had a bronze laver that was made out of two mirrors, looking like a sea of glass. We can't be sure. But one thing we know is that clearly in the Old Testament, and especially from the book of Ezekiel chapter 1, as Ezekiel looks into heaven, the sea of glass as clear of crystal represents the floor of heaven itself. One thing we know, that as John records this in John 6, he is connecting this with the presence of God. that those who stand before the throne know that they have entered into the presence of God, and this is a holy place. But we also know that in the book of Revelation, the sea as it is on earth is often portrayed as a place of evil. In Revelation 13, we are told of a beast that comes out of the sea. In Revelation chapter 20, we are told that in the final battle, Satan is thrown into the sea, the burning sea, for eternal punishment. And in Revelation 21, there is no longer a sea, for Satan has been destroyed. But as we look at the sea in Revelation 4, we see that the sea is described as a sea of glass, of crystal. There is no turmoil, there is no bouncing waves, there is no evil that is coming up from it, but it is a sea at peace. Those who entered the courtyard in the Old Testament, as they came before the Holy of Holies and the holy place and the tabernacle itself, they came to a God who had saved them to a place of peace. As you gather before God on each Lord's Day, you have gathered to a place of peace. Outside in this world there is sin. Outside in this world there is evil. There is turmoil. There is chaos. But within this place, on the Lord's Day, before God's throne, there is peace. Peace because you have come to know Christ as your Savior. Peace because your sins are washed away and now you belong to Him and you have entered His presence and you come before His throne and worship and know that your sins are forgiven and that you are at peace with Him. You see, John has been given this vision to describe for us what vertical worship is. That we put aside the thoughts of this world and our outside interests, and for this 1 hour on the Lord's Day, have our thoughts at worship on Him. On Him who is before the throne. On Him who speaks to us through His Spirit, through His Word from the throne. And we gather in reverence and awe. And we, like the four living creatures and the 24 elders, sing praises to Him, for our thoughts are at the worship of Him and not on ourselves. And we listen as He speaks to us from the throne. And we know that we are at peace. The book of Revelation reminds us of vertical worship. It's not about us, not about making us feel good, not about keeping us interested or what creative things we can do to keep people interested. It is reminding us that what we do at worship on the Lord's Day and every day is before the face of God, and we must worship Him as we will worship Him in heaven with reverence and awe, and nothing in between. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this glorious vision in Revelation 4, the picture of the throne which you have given to your servant John and which you have given to us. We pray, O God, that each and every Lord's Day as we come to worship, that our focus of worship would be on you, that our thoughts would be on heaven and not ourselves, that you would bless us and help us and remind us to know of your peace and salvation, which are ours. Give us discerning minds and hearts through the power of your Spirit to know that you have blessed us, that you communicate to us, that you are awesome and glorious, holy, 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 and we are only worthy to be here because of our Savior who has brought us to this place. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.